The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
All right. Welcome to a Tuesday, everyone, and not just any Tuesday. Today is the Tuesday, or one of the Tuesdays, that the Supreme Court turned Donald Trump down. Yeah, that just happened. Moments ago, right before airtime. In fact, let me read. Breaking news alert. The Supreme Court has rejected a bid by a Republican member of Congress and other GOP activists to overturn President-elect Joe Biden's win in Pennsylvania. In an order Tuesday afternoon, the justices turned down the emergency request from Representative Mike Kelly, Republican of Pennsylvania, and two other House candidates to decertify the results of last month's election in the Keystone State. The High Court acted without comment or noted dissent in the matter on the last day under federal law for states to submit their slates of presidential electors without being subject to potential contest in Congress. Yes. See, today happens to be, oh God, what's it called? It is Safe Harbor Day. Of course. How could I forget that? Yesterday was Pearl Harbor Day. Today is Safe Harbor Day. I don't know if that was coincidence or just sort of like bad timing or what, but today marks the deadline for states to certify their election results. So basically, what it means is it's something you already knew, that Donald Trump is just full of shit. He has no hope to overturn this election, though he hasn't stopped trying. He is still calling state legislators, trying to bully them into upending the will of the people. I mean, it's horrendous. He, I guess he did a thing today where he had a COVID vaccine summit or some nonsense. The beautiful thing about that was while he was doing that, Joe Biden, the president-elect, was holding an event where he was introducing his health care nominees, including Javier Becerra, who's going to be the Secretary of Health and Human Services. And as Trump was going on about whatever nonsense he was spewing, Dr. Anthony Fauci was with Joe Biden, explaining that he will remain in the same position he has had for, I think, under like six presidents, as head of the infectious diseases portion of the National Institutes of Health. And he will be President Biden's chief medical advisor or something like that. So, yeah, just the orange one gets more demented by the day. What's, you know, frightening is that he still has that nuclear football. Still not getting the show on PV. Oh, shit. Well, that's not good. Hold on. Let's see if I can't fix that. Progressive Voices is not working correctly. All right. Let's see if I can get them where they're supposed to be. I don't know why that shouldn't have happened, but all right. Hopefully. House of Roberts in the chat room at NicoleSandler.com. Please let me know if that did the trick. And maybe we'll start on Progressive Voices. I don't know why it didn't work in the first place. All right. So anyway, for the rest of you who are here, before we get into it, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention it. 40 years ago tonight, John Lennon was murdered. You know, and back then in 1980, shooting murders like this were not, well, I don't want to say they weren't as common as they are now, but I think maybe we didn't, we weren't as attuned to them. I don't know. It was a shocker. I mean, it still would be a shocker if someone's gunned down on the streets of New York and it's not Donald Trump, you know, pulling the trigger on Fifth Avenue, because that we expect to happen anytime. I know we didn't have mass shootings, certainly, but the whole the thought of a man like John Lennon, who was all about peace, give peace a chance, being gunned down in front of his home just as he was emerging back into the limelight, into the spotlight, because he had been stay-at-home dad for 5 years. His son Sean was born, and he just was home being daddy. And then he decided to dip his toe back into the water. And he and Yoko Ono recorded the Double Fantasy album, and it was shortly right after that album was released that he was murdered. And it's still, I remember it as clearly as if it were yesterday, because it often feels that way, as if it were yesterday. I was in college at the University of South Florida. I was studying for an exam. I don't know why I had Monday Night Football on, because I am not a sports fan. I don't watch football. Maybe I just, you know, I always have to have something on in the background because I'm ADD and I need the stimulation or something. But I, like so many other people, learned of John Lennon's murder from Howard Cosell on Monday Night Football. And of course, I was studying broadcasting at the University of South Florida, and I worked at the campus radio station, and my boyfriend at the time did as well. And he was at the station with Tim, whose last name escapes me at the moment, who was hosting the late night jazz program. It was a classical music station most of the day, and they had jazz at night, and I had 4 hours a week of rock and roll Friday and Saturday nights from 11 to 1. But so it was jazz that night. It was a Monday, obviously, and I stopped what I was doing. Obviously, there was no way I was going to go back to studying, and I drove into the station because that's what we did. And we talked, and we played John Lennon music all night. I never got to meet John Lennon. I was lucky enough to meet Yoko Ono a few times. The picture, for those of you watching a video feed, the picture is from, I want to say, around 1988, when they released the film Imagine John Lennon. And the station I worked at the time in Los Angeles was then KNX-FM. And we had the premiere of the movie, and we spearheaded a campaign to get John Lennon a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, which is why I was wearing that T-shirt in that photo with Yoko Ono. You know, we have these snapshots. I have literal snapshots, moments in time. And yeah, you know, time freezes at moments like that. I hope I never experience something like that again in my lifetime. But I'll tell you, back in 1980, I don't think I ever could have conceived of what life would look like in 2020. This is the stuff of just bad dystopian novels that can't get published. There's probably a million stories like this where a Donald Trump character, you know, gets elected president, and the publishers go, no, this could never happen. Never in a million years. And yet here we are. And the Supreme Court just turned him down. So something else that I never would have imagined, although if it's going to happen anywhere, of course, it would be here in Florida. I think I told you about this woman a while ago. And actually, I've tried to get Rebecca Jones on the program, but honestly, I reached out to her a few times and never heard back, and I just figured, all right, she's a busy woman. Well, Rebecca Jones was a data scientist at the Florida Department of Health, and she put together, she does statistics, this is her thing, and she was reporting on the COVID-19 statistics. And her, she fashioned a dashboard, like an informational dashboard for a website, for the Florida, I guess, Department of Health website. And our governor, Ron Death Sentence, I guess, didn't like the fact that she was disseminating accurate information about the virus. She refused to alter the information. She refused to fake some of the statistics that Governor Death Sentence wanted faked, and therefore she was fired. And so she went out on her own, and she basically sort of rebuilt that dashboard, and she did it on her own with information she was publicly able to access. Well, yesterday morning, I'm just going to read to you from one of our local papers down here. The Florida Department of Law Enforcement served a search warrant at Rebecca Jones' Tallahassee home Monday morning in connection with an investigation into who hacked the state's internal notification system with a message urging state employees to come forward with information about Florida's handling of the pandemic. The alert read that they're claiming she wrote. The alert read, quote, "It's time to speak up before another 17,000 people are dead. You know this is wrong. You don't have to be a part of this. Be a hero. Speak out before it's too late." On the surface, I mean, I don't see anything harmful in that. It's, you know, it's a good warning that everybody in Florida needs to hear, because our governor is responsible for the deaths of well over 17,000 people because he is as irresponsible as the orange buffoon up in Washington, D.C. So, Rebecca Jones tweeted a video of agents entering her home yesterday morning with their guns drawn, with a message that said, "There will be no update today. At 8:30 this morning, state police came into my house and took all my hardware and tech. They were serving a warrant on my computer after the Department of Health filed a complaint. They pointed a gun in my face. They pointed guns at my kids. This is horrendous. I cannot believe this is the United States of America. I'm going to play the video. If you're watching on a video stream, you'll see it. If you're listening, you'll get the idea of exactly what's going on here. Here we go." She opens the door.
Outside. Who else is in the house, ma'am?
My two children and my husband.
Where's your husband?
Calm down. Calm down.
You want the children down?
Calm all down.
Mr. Jones, come down the stairs. Now!
Come over here. Police!
And they're holding their guns. Holding their guns up the stairs.
My children!
Hang on, let me clear the house.
He just pointed a gun at my children!
And that's where the tape ends. You hear Rebecca Jones shouting, "He just pointed a gun at my children." You see the cop at the bottom of the stairs pointing his gun up the stairs. Her husband and two young children are there. Rebecca Jones was fired from her job in May and since then has maintained her own website where she posts coronavirus statistics. This is what she wrote after she tweeted out that video. "They took my phone and the computer I use every day to post the case numbers in Florida and school cases for the entire country. They took evidence of corruption at the state level. They claimed it was about a security breach. This was DeSantis." That's his given name. I think death sentence is a little more accurate. Anyway, the Department of Health, apparently, according to this South Florida Sun Sentinel article I'm reading, the Department of Health filed a complaint with Florida Department of Law Enforcement regarding unauthorized access to a Department of Health messaging alert system used for emergencies. And agents suspect someone at Jones' home, quote, illegally accessed the system. This was the basis for their raid, because that message that I read to you, They are saying she did it. Well, she didn't do it. And she said it went back and forth. But the video shows agents entering her home with their guns drawn. Jones tells the officers that her husband and two children are upstairs as they direct her outside of the house. One of the agents points his gun toward the stairwell. An officer shouts, "Police, come down now." And then you hear her screaming, "He pointed a gun at my children." Rebecca Jones denies hacking the system. She said, "I never had access to that system. I'm not a hacker. I do data statistics and analysis." This is Gestapo-like tactics. This is not America. This is not what I signed up for. And the whole thing is just so disturbing. In July, Rebecca Jones filed a whistleblower complaint against the Florida Department of Health, saying that she was removed from her post for refusing to falsify data. Rick Johnson, the Tallahassee lawyer representing her, called the complaint straightforward. He said, quote, "They told her to fudge the numbers and she said no. So they fired her and fudged the numbers without her." She was on CNN last night. She told the whole story to Chris Cuomo. I've got a very long clip. I'm not going to play it. But she wrote what she said. Here's a quote from her. She said, "This was a very thinly veiled attempt to intimidate scientists and to get back at me." She warned her former colleagues at the Florida Department of Health that because the agents took her phone, DeSantis could be privy to private conversations they've had or details they've shared in confidence, which she cautioned could get them fired. So because they took her personal electronic devices, people who were giving her information, who were still employed at the Florida Department of Health, are now, she's warning them that, oh my God, I didn't give you up, but they took my stuff. And yes, some of your messages are on there. By the way, as proof that she didn't write these texts, she said that, number one, she hasn't had access to any government systems in over 6 months, during which time she has publicly called upon people to speak out. And she argued that whoever sent the alert undercounted deaths by 430 people. She said, "I would never round down. I take that number and every number very seriously." The text said 17,000 people. She noted that the death toll at that point was 17,430 people. She said, "Those 430 people are human beings. They have people grieving for them. They died. They lost their lives. I would never ignore them. I would never not count them. I wouldn't round down." I don't know where we go from here, other than governor death sentence needs to be removed from office. We can't legally do it by the power of the ballot box until November of 2022. Maybe we can impeach the motherfucker. What do you think? Yesterday, I played for you Miss Lori Lehman's rendition, her parody of "The Devil Went Down to Georgia." I told you there are a number of them. Well, here's number two. And honestly, I'm not sure which one this is. So we'll just find out together. So take it away, talented song parody people, and then stick around because Gotta Laugh is coming up next.
Georgia, he was looking for a vote to steal. He was in a bind, he was way behind, he was willing to make a deal. But he came across a lot of people willing to turn that state blue hot. Donald jumped up on his Twitter feed and said, "Georgia, let me tell you what. I thought you knew I say it a lot, but I'm the best man for this job. And if you vote me out of office, I will call it fraud. Now, Sleepy Joe ain't good for you. Give Donald what he's due. I'll give you $1 million for your vote. And Georgia, I'll be there for you." Georgia said, "Hell no, buddy, and it might be a surprise, but I'll take my vote and give it to Joe. The South will revolutionize."
Georgia, sharpen up your pen and use your votes right now, 'cause Donald's loose in Georgia and his Twitter feed is loud. And if your voice is heard, your state will turn a shade of blue. But if you don't, change won't come to you.
Donnie got on TV and shouted, "Hey, this is fraud." But somehow everyone else knew it was time to get gone. Georgia said the race was called MVPA flip 2, 'cause we told you once, you son of a bitch, the state is turning blue. Ha!
Fire the White House, run, boys, run. Georgia did a flip and Trump stays done. Bite on the day, let's go, Joe. Will Donnie set the feet?
Here we go. Yes. Hey. Woo. Bye, Trump.
Her name is Sarah Hester Ross, and she was playing that fiddle and singing, too. Good stuff, huh? Okay, Now, this.
If the news gives you the blues, here's the perfect place to go. It's Tuesdays with Carla Laughlin and the Nicole Sandler Show.
Every Tuesday we get together with our pal, Gotta Laugh, and, shoot the shit about the news by going through Laffy's Twitter stream, because it's pretty prolific. But first we need to get her on the line, so let me push some buttons and say hello.
Yes, you've reached the Rudy hotline.
Okay.
Press 1 if you think Rudy Giuliani lost all his legal battles, but the only case he won was a case of COVID.
Yeah.
Press 2 if you think social distancing from Rudy won't be a problem because nobody wants to get close to anyone who farts that much. Press 3 if you think it's been a stellar month for Rudy because his hero lost the election, he leaked hair dye, he held a press conference in front of a dildo store, he got laughed out of court, his kid got COVID, he tested positive, and he jerked off in a Borat movie.
I stay. What a way to end a career. You go, Rudy.
And today he called into his own show.
Oh, he has a show?
I guess so. Somebody said he called into his own show. Maybe it meant he was going to be a guest. I don't know. But he called in and he admitted that Jenna Ellis,
right? Jenna Ellis now also has the Rona. So surprised. I mean, how could that be possible?
I can't figure it out. They're always so careful and they wear their masks.
Yeah, all the time. Right.
All the time.
Did you hear sham of a hearing last week when Rudy asked the witness if she'd take off her mask?
Yeah.
So he's sitting at the table, right? Yeah. This woman comes up to testify in this, not a hearing. They're not under oath. It was not a courtroom. It was a hotel ballroom. But this woman sits down to tell her story. And Rudy says this.
Ms. Jacob?
Yes.
I don't want you to do this if you feel uncomfortable. But would you be comfortable taking your mask off so that people could hear you more clearly?
Can you hear me now?
Can everyone hear it clearly?
We can hear it. We can hear you.
Okay.
So everyone else can hear? Oh, okay. All right. Hi. Be that way. I just didn't want her wearing a mask. Well, that mask may have saved her life. Mm-hmm. You see, because Rudy Giuliani can and did test positive and immediately gets admitted to Walter Reed, where I'm sure he got the same designer cocktail that Donald Trump got that, guess what, you and I don't have access to. So exactly. If we somehow test positive for COVID, we are not going to recover in a matter of a couple of days because we don't have that kind of treatment. But it seems that everybody in Donald Trump's immediate circle does. There's something really wrong there.
Yeah, it's magic how they all have the same medicines that they have access
right.
to, isn't it?
Yes.
We just look at them and go, we wish we could do that.
Right. Hmm. No. And the thing is, I know a few people who have died from COVID. I know one person firsthand. I know of a number, you know, friends of friends. But one person that I knew fairly well, who was a big progressive activist here in South Florida, Radical Jack was his name. Yes,
Walter Reed is supposed to be for
I know Walter
service
Reed
personnel and government personnel.
Right. And David just said Walter Reed is supposed to be for service personnel and government personnel only. And somehow Rudy Giuliani went there. You know, again, he's all about everything he says he's against. It's the opposite of that. That's why I've been talking about opposite world for years.
Yeah.
You know, everything, every time he opens his mouth, 42 days, people, 42 days.
18 hours, 43 minutes and 50 seconds.
Thank you. And the countdown clock is posted at NicoleSandler.com, both on the homepage and on the Listen Live page right below the chat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's go for tweeties because we have a lot here.
Okay.
I've been adding them since you and I talked.
Oh, boy. Well, it's been a busy day.
Yes,
so time to let loose the birdies.
The birdies.
Welcome to my tweet spot.
I, I don't want bird poop on my head.
Yeah, well, that would be Rudy flew over you.
Yes, yes. All right, messed up my hair.
So,
all right, so what's Twitter all of Twitter about today?
Starting with the Supreme Court denying the effort to overturn Biden's victory in PA.
Yeah.
LOL GOP said, nice to know a six-digit win isn't contestable just because it makes Republicans sad.
Aww.
And this is a good one. Randy Mayum Singer said, and she's a screenwriter, they'll now appeal to Supreme Court total landscaping.
Or Supreme Courtyard by Marriott.
Exactly. Somebody else said that one to me, too. And then Benji Sarlin said, if nothing else, Trump's provided a big boost for the 6-3 conservative court who now get to show off after their independence. I'm sorry, show off their independence by setting the bar at won't overturn an election. That's how low
yeah,
it is.
That's how low it is. Yeah, don't make any mistakes here. You know, this they have, as my husband points out to me all the time, these people do not want their legacy to be, you know, they destroyed democracy for Donald Trump. These people are now on the Supreme Court and they have a lifetime appointment. They're not going to follow him down this rabbit hole because they're all, regardless of whether we agree with their ideology or not, they're all accomplished to some degree in the legal field. They're not going to do this shit. They're not Rudy Giuliani's. So,
right, but they will do other stuff that he
oh,
loves,
yes, so, they will. Of course they will.
Know, we mustn't get too comfortable with a couple.
Oh,
of
no, 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 no. I'm just saying they're not going to overturn an election.
Right.
The will of the people.
What a low bar. Hey, right. Look at us. We didn't overturn an election because the president said so.
By the way, also, Al G said, I think Giuliani went to Georgetown Medical Center. He did. Apparently, he first went to Walter Reed and then he went to Georgetown. So I don't know if he was transferred. I don't think he was admitted to Walter Reed. But I believe what I read, if it's right, is that he went there first. And that, I guess maybe then they transferred him because he didn't belong there.
No, you're contagious.
Right. You don't belong here. Yeah.
We don't want you in this hospital.
Yeah.
Make everybody else sick.
By the way, did you hear? I read something yesterday about Joe Biden may not be able to move right into the White House on January 20th.
Because they have to fumigate it?
They have to do deep, heavy duty cleaning because it's a petri dish. There's so much COVID brewing in there and marinating and growing, and all these people are infected. They need a full on cleaning of every crevice and every cranny. I guess it depends if, you know, Trump decides to go down to Mar-a-Lago and just stay there after the holidays, or if he plans on hanging out in D.C. until the very last minute.
He'll do whatever he can do, whatever choice he makes, it will be to make it tougher on Biden. So it won't have anything to do with what he wants to do. It'll have to do with what he thinks will stick it to the Biden team.
Yeah.
And if it means hanging out at the White House just to make it harder, he'll do it.
Yeah.
He's such a prick. God,
he just really is. And I wonder, I mean, is he that stupid? Or does he know that he's just, you know, making these people follow him around? I mean, he loves the poorly educated. Does he know? I mean, do these people realize how badly he's taking advantage of them?
Their hatred for the, you know, they want to own the libs more.
Yeah.
They also think that whatever he does is gold. So, yeah, I mean, they don't care what he does. They've said as much. They've said he, you know,
disgusting.
He really could hurt somebody and they wouldn't mind because look at the other things he does for us. That's what they've said. I mean, there's just, you know, we can't even guess at it anymore. Anywho, here's something else stupid he did.
Okay.
So the Medal of Freedom was awarded yesterday.
And who did he give it to this time? A wrestler.
God, I'd have to.
A wrestler. At least it wasn't Rush Limbaugh again.
No, it was, sorry. It was wrestler Dan Gable, an Olympic gold medalist.
Okay.
He Trump touted Gabel's record. He pretended he won last month's election. Oh, that's something else. It's all part of the story, but I'm not sure why they wrote that. But it says in the headline, the Presidential Medal of Freedom hasn't traditionally been used as a reward for political allies. And yet Trump can't seem to help himself.
That's all he does. That's all he does.
Steve Bannon's so good. Uh-huh. Anyway, so Rachel Maddow tweeted, and this happened. I saw the video. Trump just walks out of the room, leaving him in the middle of the Oval Office, unsure what to say or do next. Gabel literally shrugged his shoulders and raised his arms to reporters as if to say, I guess we're done.
Oh, my God.
He just literally turned on his heel.
We've seen him do similar things before one time when he had what's supposed to be signing some executive order or some other bullshit. And he turned to walk out of the room before he signed the thing. And they had to pull him back in and go, you forgot to sign the thing.
Exactly. Yeah. In fact, Steve Bannon writes, complicating matters, this appeared to be the latest in a series of examples of the president rewarding political allies. Oh, I'm sorry. That was a whole different thing. It wasn't what you, I thought it was based on what you said, but no, this was still about giving his friends rewards and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He just does that. He forgets to sign things. He walks through the wrong door. He, you know, the one time that Bush walked into a door because it was locked and he made a joke and tried to pull it open.
Yeah. I remember that.
Trump does that times infinity. So
right. You're right.
It's hugely embarrassing. Here's something that is a little bit heartening, although I've had people respond to me with some skepticism, but I'm not so sure. New York's attorney general, which is
Letitia James.
Yeah. She says on The View how Trump will try to avoid justice, but he won't get away with it. She said she's been investigating the Trump Organization after Cohen testified. The fact that Mr. Trump is the president of the United States really has no bearing on our investigation, she said. In fact, the election has no bearing on our investigation. We'll continue our investigation, whether he's president or not. And she goes on, he can preemptively pardon individuals, and the vast majority of legal scholars have indicated that he cannot pardon himself. What he could do is step down and allow the vice president, Mike Pence, to pardon him. I suspect mm-hmm. he'll pardon his family members, his children, his son-in-law, and individuals in his administration, as well as some of his close associates. And then I suspect at some point he'll step down and allow the vice president to pardon him. It's important to understand he's pardoned from federal crimes. He is not pardoned from state crimes.
That's right.
And she goes on about that. So she's on it. She also, I saw her on, I think it was on Maddow the other night, and she is very happy about to investigate. She's clearly gleeful about trying to investigate him. So I don't think she'll give up on him. I don't think the skeptics are warranted.
Okay.
Skepticism.
Yeah. I hope. And you know, yesterday I had Jeff Hauser on the program. Jeff Hauser runs the the Revolving Door Project at CEPR. It's a watchdog group who watches political executive branches nominations and appointments. And so we were talking about the cabinet, and I asked him who he thought would be a good attorney general or who Biden was leading towards, because he hasn't named him yet. And he did say Letitia James is someone that is would make a great attorney general, as would Sherrilyn Ifill.
That's my choice.
I know. Mine too. And when he said it, it's just, yes, please, please. Yeah. Can I vote?
She's not even a contender.
Well, she should be. If she's not, she should be.
But I have never seen her name mentioned. And right now he's aiming toward Jones.
Yeah. Doug Jones of Alabama. Actually, Don Siegelman, former governor of Alabama, really likes Doug Jones. Doug Jones was one of the lawyers who helped Don Siegelman when he was, you know, he was a targeted political prisoner, targeted by the Bush administration and Karl Rove. So I know Doug Jones is, you know, a good guy, but, you know, he's a white guy from Alabama and he's a conservative. So, you know.
Although I wonder if he's as conservative as he's had to be publicly. I wonder if once he gets out of, you know, the political sphere, whether he would be a little more because I know the Black Caucus is for him. Am I right? Have you read that?
No, I did not read. Are for Doug Jones?
I don't think so. That.
I don't think so, because they've been pushing for, I was going to say an African-American, but yesterday, Sister Soul in the YouTube chat room said, I hate it when people use that term. I'm black. And, it's not up to me to decide, but I always thought, I've wondered about that. So I said, Sister Soul, one of these days she used to call into the show and we can have this conversation, because, I don't want to call people by some designation that they don't want to be referred
to.
So anyway,
I know I read it, though. I thought it was members of the Black Caucus. But it might have just, I don't know, but I definitely read that he has support from the African-American community in terms of political figures, and I can't recall specifically. So I'm sorry for that. I should have set that aside.
Okay.
But it didn't occur to me.
That's right.
Okay. So Ivanka Trump, we're talking about how Jenna Ellis has the COVID.
Yes, she does.
She's got the COVID.
She's got the vid. She's got the,
Jared Kushner,
she got the Rona.
She
has the Rona.
She's got the Rona. Well, Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner were guests at the same White House holiday party that Jenna Ellis attended on Friday.
So
who knows what could happen? It could be a whole Rona party.
Uh-huh. Okay.
They could have a reunion party. And all the people that were there at the holiday party could all get sick together and have another party.
Okay. Hey, they just announced another one. Joe Biden has selected Representative Marsha Fudge of Ohio to lead the Department of Housing and Urban Development.
Oh, I wondered. That was, I saw people pushing for her, and I wondered if that was going to happen.
Well, including Sherrod Brown, who's a senator from Ohio. She's congresswoman from Ohio. So that's good.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll go with that.
Sure. Okay. So in Ross' story, we've got, GOP conference call erupts after lawmaker floats condemning Republicans who ask Trump to concede. Then here's how it sounds in real talk instead of headline talk.
Yeah.
A phone call among Republicans in the House of Representatives devolved into bitter infighting after one GOP lawmaker floated a resolution that would formally condemn any Republican who called on Trump to concede the 2020 election. Washington Post was reporting that the controversy started when Representative Alex Mooney of West Virginia pitched a resolution during the call that would condemn any member who calls upon Trump to concede prematurely before the investigations are complete. According to the sources, many members of the House Freedom Caucus voiced support for the measure, while more moderate members strongly objected to it. There are no moderate members, but they object to it. So, and it basically says that they're a mess over there. They're an absolute mess.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But so are the Democrats. I'm sorry, but so are the congressional Democrats.
Yeah.
Congress deserves the lowest approval rating that it has. I mean, they deserve it. They deserve it. I'm sorry. This package, I don't want to call it a stimulus because it isn't, is just, it's embarrassing. And I'm sorry. Nancy Pelosi turned down offers of $1 trillion because she wanted to go for the big package. And now she's accepting $908 billion. And they're
really
positioning
upsetting it
as a big win. And now they're floating this nonsense that all the Republicans were offering was $500 billion. That's not true. They were offering more than that. And she said no. Just saying.
Yep.
Yep. Just saying. Yeah.
It drives me nuts, too. When I read that, for a while they were holding their ground and all of a sudden the number gets cut drastically and I know they keep saying, no, once Biden is in, we're going to do more, but that never happens.
Of course not.
They do little piecemeal things and nothing can get through and this seems
right. And the person standing up for the right or for the correct, for us, Bernie Sanders, with Jeff Merkley and I'm trying to remember who else. I'm going to see if I can find.
Was it Markey?
Markey was part of it. Yep. Definitely Ed Markey. And I'm trying to remember who else. I'm going to see if I can find. Here it is.
Yeah.
Sanders, Gillibrand, Warren, Merkley, Markey, and Wyden urge colleagues to defend working class and COVID-19 relief proposal. So that's a pretty good group of Kirsten Gillibrand sort of is one of those things is not like the other. But OK, they urge Senate Democrats today to recognize the enormity of the economic and public health crisis and join them in, quote, demanding that any new COVID-19 relief proposal includes a $1,200 direct payment to adults and $500 to their children, while rejecting provisions, yep, quote, to give a liability shield to corporations who threaten the health and safety of workers and customers.
That's the biggie right there.
Well, it's both of them are. Because you know what? There are a lot of people. Definitely. Look, they're talking about, you know, bringing back some more increased unemployment benefits. But a lot of people are hurting who don't get unemployment benefits.
Right.
I can't get unemployment benefits. But I'll tell you what, that $1,200 check would help me enormously.
You and
millions of other people. So,
but,
yeah.
Yeah. Those are the two things. Oh, yep. God. So, you'll be all excited about this.
Oh, yeah.
Because I know you really are going to want to read this.
Okay.
She's got some of us quaking in our boots, is the quote. Kellyanne Conway has gotten a multi-million dollar deal to write an unvarnished, popping memoir about her lies her time as a White House advisor.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
What publisher is paying her money to spew lies?
Let me see, and I will tell you. This is at the Daily Mail, so it's going to... Okay, let's see. Does it say? Does it say? Come on.
Because the thing is, Kellyanne Conway, he didn't lie. It was alternative facts. I'm sorry. An alternative fact is a fucking lie!
She sparked a bidding war.
Oh, my God.
World. I'm looking for who finally ended up with it, but I'm not seeing it, and I'm skimming, so I may be missing it.
Okay, it's not that big a deal. I mean, we'll have plenty of time to find out. And the thing is, whoever it is has been had because Kellyanne Conway lies about everything. What? Who would want to hear from her? I guess the Trumpers.
It's all lies, and they're all going to get rich doing this. They're all going to go off and have their little. They're going to all be on MSNBC and then on Fox and as what do you call them? You know, when you go, I can't think of the word. When you go on as a regular,
A contributor,
I keep wanting to say
consultants, contributor. Yeah. Or analysts.
And they're all going to write books and be.
Of course.
And they were even saying that maybe a movie will be made out of her book.
Oh my God!
Throw up all.
I wonder who's going to play her daughter Claudia.
Ooh. And well, they do allude to that. They say that she will be writing about her marriage issues.
Really?
So I'm sure her daughter will make an appearance.
As will George.
She wouldn't.
Wow.
And if she doesn't, you know, her daughter will say everything she can on Twitter about it anyway.
Yes, I'm sure she will. But although she might be muzzled, you know, for the next. She's probably 16 now, maybe.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
She's got a couple of years of house arrest, I'm guessing.
Them. Mm-hmm. Oh, Lindsey Graham.
Oh, God.
This is from Brian Behar. He is at HuffPost. Lindsey Graham is threatening the Senate won't confirm any attorney general who might prosecute Trump. So to be clear, says Brian Behar, he's personally setting preconditions for what laws the nation's chief law enforcement officer can enforce.
Yeah, I think that's illegal. I think that's called...
Bullshit?
I don't know. It is that, but more, it's like a obstruction of justice or something, right?
I would think so.
Well, something like that.
Blocking a nominee. Right. I don't know.
Well, saying if you don't do what we want you to do, you will not get confirmed. It's preordaining what a judicial body is going to do. I don't know. It can't be legal.
It shouldn't be legal. It probably is, because that's how everything seems to work for us.
Yeah. Yes.
Here's something fun.
Yeah.
This is from The Hill.
Okay.
Trump's daughter-in-law, Lara Trump. She's currently the favorite among North Carolina voters to succeed in the 2022 Republican primary for the seat of retiring Senator Richard Burr.
Oh, my God. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Senator Lara Trump.
Wait, hold on. We have, I think I have the official laugh track here somewhere. Here we go.
Oh, please. Is this according to a BUSR UNLV Lee Business School poll?
Okay.
Anyway, and it also says... In terms of the 2024 presidential primary in North Carolina, Trump leads among voters with 76% support ahead of Nikki Haley, who gets 6%. And Republicans Ted Cruz, Mitt Romney, Marco Rubio were also included, and they each got 3% or less.
Wait a minute. And she got what?
That's for the presidential.
Okay.
Trump got 76% and all the rest of them got. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Hey, I've got a tidbit for you because, you know, I live in Florida. And the story about, you know, the Florida State Police raiding the home of Rebecca Jones wasn't enough. Oh, my God.
Just awful.
Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump appear to be moving to Miami-Dade.
Oh, I saw that.
They purchased a plot of land in what's described as Tony, Indian Creek Village. I don't know where that is other than it's down in Miami.
A bunker?
Well, it's here. It is believed to be a 1.8-acre, 80,000 square foot plot, most recently owned by Julio Iglesias and listed at $31.8 million.
Ah, cheap. Buy two of them.
Yeah. God.
Unbelievable.
Ugh.
They're all such privileged twits. So New York Southpaw, he was commenting on this. This is from Heather Cagle of Politico. New, the inaugural committee fails to pass simple resolution essentially acknowledging Biden as president-elect after all Republicans opposed. Hoyer offered the resolution, which failed 3-3. Other committee members are Pelosi, McConnell, McCarthy, Blunt, and Klobuchar. So Southpaw says McConnell, McCarthy, and Blunt, the Senate Majority Leader, House Minority Leader, and GOP Policy Chair, voting against the peaceful transition of power in accordance with popular sovereignty.
Lovely.
Now they claim the reason they did that was because it was premature because the electors hadn't done their thing. So they were waiting until everything was at the,
Very,
that's what they say.
Right.
That was their excuse.
Yeah, I believe that. And I've got some land not too far from where I'm sitting that I'll sell you really
bunker.
Cheap. It's pretty far from the bunker. I'm nowhere near that, just so you know. I'm somewhere in between the Miami bunker and Mar-a-Lago. Ugh.
Well, I'm sorry you're even in proximity
you
in
and
any
me
way
both.
To Mar-a-Lago.
You and me both.
God.
Yeah, there's a reason I call it
so
Florida.
Here, this was big news yesterday. I put this out, and you remembered his name, and I already forgot it. Walsh.
Oh, Joe Walsh.
Joe Walsh.
And I only know his name because it's the same as the guitar player, but he's not.
Yeah,
he's the deadbeat dad who was in Congress for one term and became a never-Trumper and I think left the Republican Party.
He did.
He's still an asshole, but, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But he keeps apologizing. You know, he's one of those. And I'm so sorry, you guys. I'm so sorry. And I'm turning over a new leaf and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, somehow he got his hands on my tweet. And so it went crazy. It got big. But here's the story. Trump administration officials passed when Pfizer offered in late summer to sell the U.S. government additional doses of its vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
Now Pfizer says it may not be able to provide more of its vaccine to the United States until next June because of its commitments to other countries.
Right. Well, they said, okay, our capacity, our manufacturing capacity is up. We can offer the United States government so many more million doses. Mm-hmm. And the Trump administration said, no, we're good. Thanks.
We're good.
So they
because
went.
He probably had no stake in the company. So he said,
of course. So they went and put it on the open market and European countries. In fact, this is the drug that they started the vaccine. They started vaccinating people in the UK with today.
Right. It says before Pfizer's vaccine was proved highly successful in clinical trials last month, they offered Trump the Trump administration the chance to lock in supplies beyond the 100 million doses the pharmaceutical maker agreed to sell the government as part of a $1.95 billion deal months ago. But the administration never made the deal, a choice that now raises questions about whether the United States allowed other countries to take its place in line.
Of course they did, because there's nobody minding the store because these idiots. Donald Trump is so quick to say, we got this Operation Warp Speed thing and we got it down. Well, the Biden team comes in and says, yeah, they may have part of it down. They have a way to distribute it to the states. So each state gets their share of the vaccine. Once it hits the ground in those states, nothing, nada, zilch, zip, no plans, nothing. So there's no way, no plan to get the vaccine from the tarmac at the airport to doctor's offices into people's arms. Lovely.
You know, I remember when everybody was excited that the vaccines were being worked on. And I said, yeah, wait, they're not going to be able to be distributed.
Yep.
It won't happen because of logistics.
Right. And, there's no money for it. No money has been budgeted for it. And this is going to be expensive because that Pfizer vaccine needs to be kept at Arctic temperatures.
Like 100 below.
Below zero. Yep.
And there's also components involved. You have to manufacture enough and all that. And so people would get mad at me and say, no, they're simultaneously making enough doses. I said, you're not getting it. It's
right.
not about the vaccine.
Yep.
It's about everything else after, including getting people to take it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Anywho, LOL GOP, our little buddy there.
Yes.
Yeah, he said, your democracy should never be so tenuous that it must depend on the integrity of Brian Kemp.
Well, you know, yeah.
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 I mean, if this is who we have to rely on to come forward and say, no, I won't do it. I won't do it, President. In the meantime, he's now cut down the number of early voting places.
Of course he has.
Yeah. So he didn't need Trump to try to ruin the election. He can do it all by himself with voter suppression.
Yeah. You know, that old saying, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. It's not true.
Right.
The enemy of your enemy can still be your enemy. And I hate that everything's couched in enemies, but I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. That's the way we are these days. That is America 2020.
That's where we are. You're right.
It is.
You're absolutely right. I mean, it's fun to have a temporary ally. I get that.
Right.
You know, like when,
well, it's like the whole Lincoln Project thing.
The Lincoln Project. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. They didn't do much good. According to what I read after the election, they said it didn't really make a difference what they were doing, but it was fun to watch. You know, might have swayed a couple of votes. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Randy Bryce, the Iron Mustache. Remember
right?
him?
Iron Stash. Yeah. Yep.
I love him.
Yeah, he took on Paul Ryan in a primary in the last cycle that Paul Ryan was here for. Came very close. He should have won. And if he had run again, chances are he would have won. But, mm-hmm. you know,
he's a good guy.
It's hard to do.
He said the same GOP party that sues to keep businesses open during a pandemic also want to make it impossible for the workers forced to work, unable to sue the companies who profit from subjecting them to COVID-19.
Yep.
Seriously messed up.
Yes, very messed up. And again, mm-hmm. that's what that whole, the letter from Sanders and Warren and yeah. Gillibrand and Wyden and Merkley, I think that's all of them, was about part yeah. of it. Yep.
That's a very important.
Yes, it is.
Ackerman. Of Daily Beast.
Uh-huh.
I always liked him. I've been following him since he was at The Independent, was it? Years ago, like 10 years ago.
Okay.
More than 10 years.
Uh-huh.
He's great. He said, Brown University's cost of war project finds that Trump's bomb the shit out of them airstrikes in Afghanistan increased civilian casualties by 330% from 2016. Quote, in 2019, airstrikes killed 700 civilians, more civilians than in any other year since the beginning of the war.
Wow. Wow.
Pro-life my ass.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's nonsense.
Just sickening. Rob Reiner. We like
yes.
Rob Reiner. He's
yes.
fun. He said, to protect our Constitution and preserve democracy, we must maintain the rule of law. If Trump has committed federal crimes, he must be prosecuted. And to prevent future Donald Trumps, DOJ policy must be changed to allow the indictment of a sitting president. Hear, hear. Clap, clap. Do you have your clappy thing?
I do. I have applause, too. Here we go.
Yeah. Problem, you and mine, yours and mine, is that we don't know, we don't believe necessarily that the AG will actually go through with going after Trump's
crime. It depends who Joe Biden chooses as attorney general.
Exactly.
And until we find out, we don't know.
But the thing is that Biden has already sent you know, done the body language with his words, so to speak, that he's not anxious to do that. And I don't think an AG would necessarily
You know what? Look, that's what he's saying publicly. And we don't know that that's the case. And if he's being honest,
right.
And, you know, honest politician, sort of an oxymoron. But if he's being honest, he's going to say it's not up to me. It's up to the attorney general. I have no say in the matter. And that's what he should do.
No, he said that, but he's also said,
I know.
I'm not that anxious to do that.
I know.
You know?
I know.
So
according to Jeff Hauser, who was my guest yesterday, the noise we made kept a number of bad cabinet appointments from being made. We need to be noisy. We need to be, I'm sorry, pains in the asses. And that's
absolutely
what I plan to be, a progressive pain in the centrist Democratic ass.
Yes, I agree.
Okay.
Digby was doing a comment over, okay, you're going to help me with this one, Zeynep Tufekci?
Zeynep Tufekci. She's Turkish. She writes for The Atlantic. She's great. I've been following her on Twitter for a long time. Somebody, a listener suggested her as a guest a couple of years ago, and I've just never been able to get her. But she's got this great piece now in The Atlantic about that we need to call it a coup, even if it's not really a coup, that the only way to stop it is by saying that's what it is.
Well, her tweet says, and then I'll read you Digby. Her tweet says, there is time to be alarmed. It's such a time. The president's blatant, if incompetent, attempts to steal the election are happening in a period of entrenched minority rule and are met mostly with silence or approval by Republican leaders. And Digby said, this is true, but it's not the first time. They ran this playbook in 2000 and they won, leveraging every bit of partisan power and a full court press from the entire GOP political establishment. 2000 is the template. And if it had been closer, they would have done it again.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Absolutely.
It's scary. It's so scary, all of this. I mean, if you know, all you need is a couple of more QAnoners in judgeships and in the Congress and in as governors, and you've got a coup. You've got them to be agreeable. And the last one I have, the last tweet of the day is Manu Raju and then Sarah Rees-Jones of Politicus. She's Manu Raju said, John Cornyn, GOP Senator John Cornyn, a member of leadership, weighed in on Biden's pick of Becerra to run HHS, calling him a radical. And the quote is, I think he'll be controversial, citing his position on single payer and abortion. Some of these folks are pretty radical.
Oh,
and then Sarah Rees-Jones said, Republicans pretending like they didn't just spend 4 years cool with neo-Nazis.
Exactly. Exactly. Speaking of radical, I don't know who did this. Somebody put this together. It's a bit of a supercut. This is Kelly Loeffler from the debate the other night.
Oh, God, she was a zombie.
This is every time she said the name Raphael Warnock, this is what happened.
Yep. My opponent, radical liberal Raphael Warnock, radical liberal Raphael Warnock, radical liberal, 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 radical liberal.
13 times, apparently, she did that.
Oh, yeah. It was awful. And she, did you see the tweet where they showed her at four different times and she had the exact same expression? It was
photographs. She didn't have, her facial expression didn't move. And every time they asked her a question, like, do you think that, you know, senators should be allowed to buy and sell stocks? Donald Trump has the right to go down every road to try to, I mean, she just, that was her answer. Didn't matter what the question was.
Right.
That was her answer. Yeah, that's what she did.
And I've seen the moderator interviewed on TV and he said, I tried.
Yeah.
I really tried to get her to answer that question. I said, well, no, other than that, you know.
Here, wait.
What's your real answer?
Here's a perfect example.
Senator, should members of Congress be barred from trading stocks?
Look, what's at stake here in this election is the American dream.
That wasn't
that's
the question.
Under attack. When they attack me for a lie.
Okay. And that's what she did for, you know, the next 40 seconds. She did. She just answered the question she wanted to answer. Sort of like Sarah Palin did all that.
She had about five different talking points.
Yep.
And they were all from Trump and they were all said in exactly the same wording over and over again.
That is true. It is true.
True.
You know what? We're coming up on the end of the hour. Boy, that flew by.
That flew.
Yeah. 42 days left to go. There was a news item from the former head of the Israeli space security program says aliens exist, but they think humans aren't ready, so they only communicate with the governments of the U.S. and Israel. Trump found out and was going to tell everyone, but they convinced him to keep quiet. It falls apart right there. I believe the aliens part. I don't believe Trump could be convinced to be quiet. So there you go. We're done. Thanks. Bye. Gotta laugh. Bye, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Bye.